Hi there! Welcome to this week's episode of REAP, where REAP stands for Read, Examine, Apply, Pray. My name's Ed Burdett, and I'm glad to be spending this time with you. As we get started, I wanted to say that REAP, as well as the daily readings at One Year Bible Podcast, is possible because of donations from listeners like you. We don't run ads, so all of our support comes from listeners who value what we do and want others to experience it as well. Every dollar donated lets us reach over 250 people with Bible resources. So if this podcast is valuable to you, or if you'd like to help spread the word across the world, would you join us in supporting this work? To donate, you can visit oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. Special thanks to our monthly donors who consistently and faithfully give to help us in our mission. And once more, that address is oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. And now, on to REAP. The purpose of REAP is for us to learn and then practice a pattern for getting more out of Scripture as we read and listen through. The way it works, we pick a section of this day's reading, either from the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the Psalms, and then using that passage, we walk through this four-step process. First, we read the passage, and next we examine it. This is where we bring up anything that stands out, anything that catches our attention. After that, we look to apply the passage, connecting it with our lives today. And lastly, we get to pray. Our passage this week comes from our Old Testament reading. It's 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 24. Using this passage then, we'll read, examine, apply, and pray. As we get started, let's ask God's blessing on our time. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this chance to come to you and to listen to your word to us. We ask that you would open our ears and open our hearts to receive from you what you have for us. We pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin now by reading. This is 1 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have listened to your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. Now, behold, the king walks before you. I am old and gray-headed. Behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my youth to this day. Here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Of whose hand have I taken a bribe to make me blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." They said, "You have not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither have you taken anything from anyone's hand." He said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness today, that you have not found anything in my hand." They said, "He is witness." Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob had come into Egypt, and your fathers cried to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them to dwell in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. They cried to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.' The Lord sent Jerubbaal, Baden, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, see the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have asked for. Behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord, and serve him, and listen to his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you are followers of the Lord your God. But if you will not listen to the Lord's voice, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the Lord's hand will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Isn't it wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain,
and you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the Lord's sight, in asking for a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. Then all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for a king." Samuel said to the people, "Don't be afraid. You have indeed done all this evil. Yet don't turn away from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away to go after vain things which can't profit or deliver, for they are vain. But the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." This is our reading, and now we'll move on to the examine portion of REAP. And again, this is where we bring up anything that stands out, anything that caught our attention in this passage. The first thing that stood out to me in this reading, it's in the first verse we read, where Samuel is talking to Israel, and he says, "I have listened to your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you." Later in the passage, we read that this was wickedness for the people of Israel to reject God as their king and to ask for a human king. What stood out then is that Samuel obeyed their voice. He listened to them and acted in line with their wishes. The next thing that stood out is Samuel's challenge to the people of Israel in verses 3 and 4. There he says, "Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed?" Samuel has lived his life from his youth before the Lord. He has nothing to hide. The people respond that way. They say, "You haven't defrauded us or cheated us of anything." This integrity of Samuel's, which the people are confessing in this moment, sets up what Samuel says next. In verse 7, he says, "Now therefore stand still, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord." What stood out here is that Samuel is pleading with the people. He is begging them to listen, to be won over to the Lord. I consider what Samuel says in this passage we read to be the greatest retirement speech I've ever heard. Yet even as Samuel gets this public performance review, we could call it, he has not stopped caring deeply for the Israelite people. He's still fighting for them. He's pleading with them. Continuing on, in verses 7 through 12, Samuel recounts some of the history of this people. What stood out here is that in this history, the name that comes up most often is the Lord's name. I counted 9 times where Samuel uses it in these few verses. From this, I think we can tell how Samuel thinks about history. In verse 12, Samuel says this, "When you, the Israelites, saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king." Up until this time then, the people of Israel had a unique government structure. Everyone around them had a human king, maybe who wore a crown and sat on a throne and lived in a palace. But here Samuel says, "The Lord your God was your king." Then in verse 13 he says this, "Now therefore, see the king whom you have chosen and whom you have asked for." Here, Samuel makes clear that King Saul is the one the people have asked for and that the people have chosen. Continuing on down, in verse 17, Samuel says this. He says, "Isn't it wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the Lord's sight in asking for a king." What stood out here is that this divine act, this evidence of thunder and rain, is to provide evidence. What this evidence is meant to show is that the Israelites were wicked in asking for a king. Basically, if God agrees with Samuel's words, then he's going to do something that doesn't happen at this time of year, during the harvest. After this thunder and rain come, farther on in verse 20, it says this, "Samuel said to the people, 'Don't be afraid. You have indeed done all this evil.'" Pausing right there, those two things that Samuel just said don't seem to go together at all. On the one hand, he says, "You have indeed done all this evil." And on the other, he says, "Don't be afraid." How can Samuel say this? In verse 22, he continues, he says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people, for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. In this part of his address, Samuel continues to plead with the people. Here, verse 23 stood out. He says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and the right way." Samuel is not riding off into the sunset and saying to the people of Israel, good luck. Even as he's old and gray-headed, he says here, "I will instruct you in the good and the right way." He's staying with them, he's offering to teach them, and he's pleading with them to serve and worship God. These are the things that stood out to me in this passage, and if I missed something that you noticed, feel free to share that as a comment over at oneyearbiblepodcast.com on the webpage for this day's REAP episode. Now let's move on to the application portion of REAP, and again, this is where we look to connect what we've read with our lives today. What stood out perhaps most in this passage is Samuel's heart for the Israelite people. Even though he's been doing this from his youth up for decades now, his heart still longs and pleads with them. He still cares. He hasn't gotten cynical. An application, I think, can be, who is one person that we plead with to follow the Lord? Maybe this pleading happens in person or maybe in prayer, but is there someone in our life who we long to see connected and reconciled with God? Someone that we will hold out our hands and plead for? Perhaps this week we can think of someone and begin to plead for them in prayer. That's an application I see, and if you see another one, feel free to share that also as a comment at the webpage for this day's REAP episode. Now let's move on to the last part of REAP, where we get to pray. Father in heaven, you are a great and holy and righteous God. Thank you so much for choosing your people, for saving them time and time again. Lord, in this passage we see your faithfulness, and we're reminded that you have been faithful to us today as well. Thank you for your gift of people like Samuel, people who will plead and beg for reconciliation, that we would follow you, the one true God. Lord, your faithfulness is great, your patience is wonderful, and we thank you that even though we, like the Israelites, can say that we have done all this evil, still you say to us, don't be afraid. Help us, in the midst of all of our flawed choices, to seek you, Lord. Help us to turn to you, to hear your voice, and to follow in your ways. Thank you for those in our life who may have pleaded for us before you. I pray now that you would bring to mind someone for each one of us that we might pray and plead for. We thank you for the great prayer, the great intercessor, our Lord Jesus himself. Jesus, would you lead us? Would you show us the way? Would you, in your mercy, pour out your grace on us? Help us to love and serve you with a steadfast heart. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me for this week's episode of REAP. In addition to this recorded version, we also meet as a group and do REAP live. This happens over Zoom every Friday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. From 12 o'clock to 12:45, we read, examine, apply, and pray together. If you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome to. The way to get that information is to send me a note through oneyearbiblepodcast.com. That way, I'll have your email address and can send you the Zoom links for those Friday sessions. It's always an encouraging and inspiring time circled around God's Word, and I hope you'll join us on one of these upcoming Fridays. That's all the announcements we have for this week. I hope you have a good Friday and weekend and week upcoming, and I look forward to talking with you soon.